anything to do with concrete, from a 5x5 walkway to a 500,000 square foot foundation. Call 423-4033.
American Legends next on KPRL, brought to you by Davis Body Shop.
We're having
audio difficulties here, but I'm not sure if we're going out on the air yet. All right. Well, we got it partially resolved. You're on Sound Off with Kenny Henney. I don't know if you're hearing me. Well, I'm going to keep talking just in case you can hear me. So we're on with Shannon Kessler. I'm not sure if we're going to be able to take calls today, considering that.
I can hear you, Kenny. I can hear you.
Okay. So we got the thumbs up. We're live, but we're not hearing any of the commercials or anything like that.
Make sure you have all the microphones on.
Yes.
So right now we're on live with Kenny Henney. This is Sound Off Friday afternoon. Appreciate you being here. Sorry for the confusion. We're on with Shannon Kessler. Shannon's from South San Luis Obispo County. She is running for District 30 Assembly seat. She's been a big advocate for Title IX rights for the girls. She made the trek up to Paso Robles about a month ago to.
Okay, it's not going on the left.
Yeah, I guess that was about a month ago. Yeah, I've been speaking in school districts up and down the coast on the subject of girls' rights to girl-only sports locker rooms and bathrooms.
Yeah, and so wanted to introduce Shannon today, make sure we know how important that...
My husband says...
how important this race is going to be. And when you look at all the problems that the state of California has, and you look at our current assembly person, Dawn Addis, she's on the wrong side of the vote, you know, for most normal Californians, probably about 95% of the time. I've been pretty outspoken of my criticism of her, but I didn't really realize how bad it was, and we'll get into some of that later. But whether it's Title IX stuff or whether it's energy stuff or water, you name it, she is pretty far left wing in a lot of these votes. So Shannon, thanks for making the trek up. Wanted to start giving you the opportunity just to introduce yourself and let the Paso Robles North County community know what you're standing for.
Great. Thank you for the opportunity, Kenny. I do live in Arroyo Grande, where I've lived for 36 years. I come from a six-generation California family. Now, I should mention, we're going to be seven generations because my grown son and his wife, my daughter-in-law, are expecting our first grandchild. And that will be in April. They'll bless us in that way. I've heard that is the best club to be a member of. Been looking forward to that for a while. My adult daughter is also married and settled here in California, and she and her husband live in South Lake Tahoe. So they're part of the motivation for me to run. I'm just looking at California as it is now for my children in their 20s. They don't even have the same opportunities that my husband and I had. My husband and I were able to buy our first house when I was 20 and he was 22.
Wow.
Here in California. And we now have invested in real estate. We got into that quickly because I've been a real estate broker for 23 years, married 37 years, and my husband and son operate our family construction business called Kessler Construction. So as a business owner of two small businesses, we have experienced the changes that have gone on just in my children's lifetime, in fact, that I believe makes California an untenable place for our children. And what I've noticed is that our children, our grown children, are being exported from California along with fruits and nuts.
Right. Yeah, there was an article I had. We were talking about Mike Harvey before we came on the air, but he was up here or out here a couple of weeks ago, and I quoted an article that came out beginning of January. It was called "California's One-Party Government Isn't Aging Well." And it talked about for five straight years, California is ranked highest in people moving out of the state, according to U-Haul's data. Bankrate found California was the 47th best state for retirement. So
yeah, exactly.
Ranking at the bottom. And it was fifth worst in roads, third worst in drivers, second highest in accident rate, second worst in drunk driving.
Yeah, we're right down there at the bottom for schools, too. And this is an area of passion for you and me. And I am motivated to run because I've long been a students' and parents' rights advocate. I'm a former PTA president right here in the Lucia Mar Unified School District in southern San Luis Obispo County. My children did go all the way through public schools, as my husband and myself were educated in California public schools. And I've seen a dramatic difference in what I learned and even how it started for my own children. And we're performing at the bottom, even though we're spending more per student than almost every other state in the nation. We're in the bottom two or three in our school results, and that applies to Lucia Mar. Another challenge I've noticed is declining enrollment. Well, no wonder. My future grandchildren that I mentioned, my son and daughter-in-law are expecting, they're not going to be enrolled in public schools. They've already decided that. He and his wife were educated right in Lucia Mar Unified School District. And I feel like we held back the tide, our generation of parents who were parent volunteers standing up. I'm that nerdy parent who attended school board meetings even before I started speaking on girls' sports and advocating, looking at the material. When Common Core came in, I was like, this is a sea change. Our children are not learning what they need to learn. They're not prepared for the real world. And many parents are pulling their kids out. And we're seeing that statewide. I just looked up some numbers. LA County has that situation as well of declining enrollment. It's not just because of people moving out. That is a problem. But it's because people are never even enrolling their kids in the first place.
Right. When you look at, I'm a nerd too. I'm a data nerd. But when you look at spending per student nationwide by state, California ranks 19th. But on the last national education assessment, we ranked 43rd.
Oh,
so
yeah,
I always argue that there isn't a direct correlation between the amount of money you spend and the improvement in academic performance. And California proves my point.
No, you're right. Even the reduced class sizes, which seemed like a great idea, has not produced better test results. Another situation we have going on in Lucia Mar that we just brought up, I noticed it on the meeting the other day that I watched on YouTube for our school board meeting, is that the scores for boys are dramatically lower than the scores for girls. Are we addressing this? Are we paying attention to the fact that our young men's scores are steadily going down at a greater rate than girls are? What are we doing in education that is not addressing the needs of young men? I mean, I have some ideas on lies that we're telling young men, but also in the way that we're educating them.
Well, I think there are a couple of issues that need to be addressed in the state of California, and something that could be addressed from the legislature. If you look at Mississippi, so I was born and raised in Georgia, and when I was growing up, Georgia ranked probably about 47th out of 50 states. Mississippi, Alabama, and West Virginia were really the only states that Georgia could make fun of in terms of their academics. But Mississippi now, and it was a direct result of the Mississippi State House, basically passed a law saying you're no longer going to just socially promote students anymore. So I think it started in 2013 or so, they established a law that required that you hold kids back. And now Mississippi has gone from being in the bottom 10 in the nation to the top 10. And I think that's something to look at. People can look it up. It's called the Mississippi Miracle. But people began to ask themselves, what the heck are we sending our kids to school for if they're just going to pass them to the next grade without having proven that they were proficient in what they were supposed to learn in that grade?
Well, and that expectation, just that the dignity that was offered to the students and the parents in the Mississippi schools, they rose to it. They rose to participate as parents, to form study groups, and to sponsor tutoring, so that the community engaged. The parents wanted their child, of course, to advance. Suddenly, they kicked in, and these students rose to the occasion. That is the problem that we were seeing. They were practicing the soft bigotry of low expectations.
Right.
When you just assume, it's easier for them to just pass them on. Well, thank you for your service, Kenny, as a former Marine, a retired Marine serving our country. I appreciate that. I'm a Marine Corps daughter. My brother's a retired Army colonel. There's no compromise in the defense of our country, and we need to apply high expectations to people as a former athlete and competitor in sports. You rise to the expectations of your coach and your team, and you don't want to let them down. That's what they've practiced in Mississippi, and it's impressive to see.
Yeah. Tell us a little about your race so far. You are one of how many candidates right now? Don Addis is obviously the person that needs to be dethroned.
Correct. Yeah, she's the incumbent, member of the Democrat supermajority, part of the problem with the strange, bizarre ideologies and disconnected policy coming from the state assembly. And then recently, another contender entered named Susanna Brown. She's also from the South County like me. She is a Democrat. And I found it interesting that she joined the race. She and I know each other. To be honest with you, I've never met Don Addis, even though I am that active nerd that attends almost everything in my county, and I've never even laid eyes on her. That's how absent she is from this area, this county. I've never met her. I don't know her. Of course, she's never taken my calls to her office. She's never followed through with appointments. And one significant case is going on a year ago, I called her as an advocate for Save Girls Sports. Even for that organization and representing several parents and girls, I pursued trying to set up an appointment with Don Addis. And her staff gave me the runaround and even when I kept firmly insisting we are her constituents. Not only are we individuals, but I represent Save Girls Sports, which has more than 200 members, and we would like her to listen to us as her constituents. Her staff, in a snippy remark, replied, well, if you had done your research, you would know her stances on this issue. I was like, I didn't even bring that up. What I brought up is I would like her to listen to what girls in this county and her district are feeling. Give them the opportunity to talk to her. They're 17, now one of them's 18, mm-hmm. and very soon they will be able to vote against her, which is what they'll do. She had an opportunity there to actually hear from her constituents, and she did not take that opportunity. So we have an opportunity to replace her. I'm an excellent alternate. I am the Republican-endorsed candidate. The state Grand Ole Party has endorsed me. Santa Cruz, Monterey, San Luis Obispo, and even Santa Barbara County have endorsed me. And I plan to be a listener and an engaged representative for my beloved 30th district on the Central Coast here.
So she wasn't even willing to listen at all to any opposing point of view?
No, and like you, what I started to realize, I have been that engaged person for most of my life. I remember, in fact, being disappointed that I was too young to vote for Ronald Reagan. But I sure made sure that my parents and my neighborhood did. Mm-hmm. I advocated for him even at 17 years old as a teenager. But recently, I encourage people to call their constituents, their representatives as constituents. It's our right. You know, great thing about a representative republic is you don't have to be elected to have a voice. You are supposed to contact your representative. Right. That's in the very name, represent. They speak for you. You can call them. You can email them. You can go to their town halls. You can go on Zoom calls they even have now. So none of those opportunities, me reaching out, similar to you, I realized that I have called her office and politely asked her staff to oppose many of the bills that she herself has written and to vote against many of the bills that she went and supported. I realized that it's about 99% of the bills I have called her on that she did not respect my views and the views of people like me, and we are her constituents.
I remember last year, I forgot the young lady's name that stood up and got basically shut down by Colleen Martin. What was that young lady's name?
Well, she's honestly looking for a little bit of a break from mm-hmm. this, you know. But yes, she's a young lady from Lucia Mar Unified School District, and she is still feels the same way, but she, like many of the other students at Arroyo Grande High and the girls that are standing up, the ones you know from mm-hmm. Paso Robles High, you know, they honestly just want to be girls being seniors in high school at this point. They just want to play sports. They don't want to become civil rights advocates. Right. They don't want to be mocked for just explaining, here's how it felt to be expected to change my clothes in front of a biological male and to share bathrooms. Because at Arroyo Grande High, there are several young men that use the girls' bathrooms. This is not an attack on any individual. There are four or five young men that will just barge into the bathrooms at any given moment. I've gotten this testimony from five or six girls at that school who tell me they text each other throughout the day and they say, there's one of them in the bathroom, in the library by the bathroom.
Holy
there's
crap.
One in this bathroom. I know girls that hold it all day. They're risking their health. They won't go to the bathroom during the day at Arroyo Grande High until they can leave at lunch or go home because they could encounter a biological male. And many of them don't even bother to pretend to be female. They just walk in there dressed like a boy and because they know they can.
Yeah, I had not realized there was such a category as gender fluid. And at Paso High, there was a boy who, you know, he clicks his heels three times or whatever, and suddenly he's a girl and he walks into the girl's bathroom.
Well,
that,
I remember,
that boggles
yeah.
my mind.
Yeah, I have a brother.
You have,
you know,
adults that allow
exactly.
that.
Exactly. So I believe that some of these young men, I think they're opposed to this policy, but they don't quite know how to express it. They're frustrated because they know that it's not the right way to treat girls. So I think some of them even go in the bathroom just to kind of make the point how absurd it is. I don't know that they're all have harm intended toward girls. I think they're just, well, let's see what happens because apparently I can do this. And yet some have a distorted view of what male and female are, and they're not acknowledging reality.
Yeah, I'm looking at, I've printed off of some information on Dawn Addis, and so she supported AB 1266, which is basically the law that permits this kind of craziness to go on. And she wrote several legislations promoting and supporting this. One was AB 1905.
Yes.
Which looked like it was really had more to do with protecting violations. All right, so I hear the music. That's a good sign. So we're going to go on a break, and we'll be back shortly.
Usually a reviewer, but I had an amazing experience at Davis Body Shop. From start to finish, the experience was ideal. Everyone was friendly, helpful, and professional. They kept me updated, did quality work, and had me in and out. No hassles, and returned my vehicle to me in perfect condition.
If you ever have an accident and need to repair your car, you could do what Ann did from Paso Robles. She took her car to Davis Body Shop. And Peggy from Atascadero said,
our family needed repairs to one of our cars, and friends had recommended Davis Body Shop. We were very pleased with their helpfulness, their attention to detail that was provided to us. They explained the process and kept us updated as repairs were made. They also assisted us in securing a rental car. I would definitely recommend them to anyone who needs repairs to a car.
Davis Body Shop is the area's largest auto body collision specialist on El Camino Real at Atascadero and on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet.
Hi, it's Casey, the market manager. The Templeton Farmers Market is at the Templeton Park on Saturdays from 9 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. In season, we have strawberries, leafy greens, avocados, oranges, winter squash, honey, meat, flowers, and so much more. You can even get fresh pressed juice, bread, bagels, coffee, and tamales. If you can't make it Saturday, swing by another North County Farmers Market in Baywood on Mondays, Paso Robles on Tuesdays, and Atascadero on Wednesdays. We are open, rain or shine, unless weather conditions are too dangerous. Check out our social media for day of updates.
Do you worry about where to take your car for repairs? Who you can trust? Mike and his team at the Autobahn are a safe bet. Located in Templeton, behind the donut shop, just off Main Street. They service Mercedes, BMWs, Volkswagens, Porsches, and Audis. And the Autobahn is certified in those cars and in repairing Land Rovers, Volvos, and Mini Coopers. Call the Autobahn, 434-2200.
If I said remember us, would you know what comes next? I'm not sure, but maybe if I added, hello there, it's Jared. Now you got it. Maybe just a little more help? So here I go. Yes, hello, it's Jared with Hutch Heating and Air. Remember us? Heater not helping much? Call Hutch. Hutch Heating and Air of Atascadero at 466-8199. Or look us up on the web at hutchheatingandair.com.
All right, we're back on the air. It looks like everything is working as it should. Feel free to give us a call, 805-238-5775. And I'm on with Shannon Kessler, candidate for District 30 Assembly. And we were talking about some of Dawn Addis's claims to fame, claims to shame, maybe would be a better phrase. So we had talked about AB 1905 that she authored, and then she authored another one called AB 1487 last year, expanding the Transgender Wellness and Equity Fund, and then she renamed it to include Two-Spirit and Intersex. She's a big supporter of AB 1955, which was basically the one that's being challenged by Mirabelli and Olson. But Shannon, give us your thoughts on, you know, some of the stuff that she's drafted up so far.
Well, yeah, I find it also telling that she abstained from voting on AB 495, the child traffickers' dream bill. Now, I believe she abstained from that because my organization, me, people that follow me, her office was bombarded with calls and letters and emails asking her to oppose AB 495. And what she chose to do was to abstain from it. So she didn't oppose the taking of our children by anyone who downloads a form on the internet. So even though her constituents wanted her to stand up for children's rights and keep parents in and legal guardians in control of who their children are released to from school, she abstained. So I find that notable.
Yeah. Caller, you're on the air with Shannon Kessler and Kenny Enney.
Hey, hi. Thanks for the show. Hey, do you think that a person like this that's in the in a position where she has authority and she's signing these bills and causing these problems, you think somebody might be feeding her some type of reward or maybe a bribe or some way? Because you got to be out of your mind to be doing this unless somebody would say, hey, look, I'll give you this or I'll give you that. I wonder if they follow the money on any of these people like they're doing to some of the other stuff around our country right now. And I'll listen up.
Okay. Thanks.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's coming, a Doge California scenario, an investigation of the money behind it. You know, there's the old saying, follow the money, and you can usually find the motivation. With Dawn Addis, I know that she was an educator. I thank her for that, special education teacher. But she was chosen for this position by the California Teachers Association, the unions, yeah. The teachers union, which is the most powerful union in the state of California. And they promote these woke ideologies that don't go with our values. They don't match the values of the bulk of her constituents. And she has rubber stamped every anti-parent, anti-girl bill that has been proposed by such extremists as Scott Wiener. And that's come across to her, and she's even written some, like the Two-Spirit one that Kenny mentioned, that she's not representing values of parents, and she's certainly not representing women's rights, and wouldn't even speak with me on the girls' and women's rights to private sports and spaces.
Yeah, you know, back to the caller's question as to whether there's finances, I think the fact that she was an educator, and not to paint a broad brush and condemn all educators, but I think the teachers union and also the other government unions that, you know, are pushing things like the billionaire tax, mm-hmm. You know, they're focused, in my opinion, solely on their own self-interests. Now, when we look at the transgender stuff and where is it? Two spirits. I've reached the conclusion that I think it's a cult. I think we are at such a moral divide in this country now where you have somebody from the left and somebody at the right from the right that look at, you know, a man in a dress, and one side, you know, the guy from the right says that's a man in the dress, and the person from the left says, no, that's a woman, even though he's 6'5 and, you know, 225 pounds with a beard. And I really started, I saw, my son runs track, and he was at the CIF championships last spring, and I saw Abby Hernandez. I am 6'1", about 210 pounds. Abby Hernandez was probably 5'11", 6". He's a good 185-190, and but everybody around him says, no, that's a girl. No, that's a guy.
Yeah, he definitely had a distinct advantage. My daughter was a track athlete and did not encounter this one-on-one. We had talked to her about it because I knew this law passed in 2013. So right. That's how long it trickled down. This didn't actually happen on a broad scale. And yes, it is a broad scale. People are going to come and say, well, how many are there? I am a woman, Kenny. You can see that, but I'll also tell you that. Right. One man in my bathroom, in my locker room, in my daughter's locker room, and in my sports category is a violation of my rights. This is not a matter of how many. And it is a worldwide issue. And yet, interestingly, places are coming to their senses on it. Like England, who's standing up for women's rights now and actually has declared what a woman is.
Yeah. I watched my son's in college in Florida right now, and I watched his track meet online this morning, and there are girls in the girls' sports and boys in the boys' sports. So we'll be back. It's about an eight-minute break, and we welcome your calls when we get back, and we will talk to you shortly.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.